This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 16th chapter of Judges, verse 6. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and how you might be bound to afflict you." The strength of Samson had become legendary. He was a nemesis to the enemies of God. Early in his career, he had gone to a Philistine city of Timnath, where he fell in love with a Philistine girl and required that his parents make arrangements for him to marry her. As they were going down to make the arrangements, a lion jumped him, but he took and ripped the lion in two as though it was just a little goat, threw the carcass in the bushes. Later, when the wedding feast was in progress, he had proposed a riddle to the 30 Philistine fellows who were his companions. And when they could not figure the riddle out, they came to his bride-to-be and with threats of destroying her and her father's house, she pressed upon Samson until he told her the answer to the riddle. And when they answered him the riddle, he knew that they didn't get it on their own, that they had gone around the corner. And so he went down to a Philistine city of Ashkelon, got hold of 30 Philistines, killed them, took their clothes off, came back and paid his debt, and headed home angry. Later, when he cooled off and came back to visit his wife, his father-in-law informed him that he never expected to see Samson again, and so he had given Samson's wife to the best man, and he had married her. Samson, then angered by the news, caught 300 foxes, tied them tail to tail, put torches on their tails, sent them loose to panic within the grain fields of the Philistines, burning their grain fields, the fire spread over to the olive orchards, and did a lot of havoc to the Philistines. When they found out who it was that did it to take revenge upon him, they burned the house of the man who was to be his father-in-law, along with the gal who was to be his wife. And Samson, to avenge that horrible carnage, it said, slew them hip to thigh. He went in and just wiped out a bunch of them. They then decided that they had to take him captive, and so they sent a regiment of soldiers to Judea to capture Samson. When they arrived in the land of Judea, the men of Judah came down and said, "What's your problem? You know, why are you come armed against us? We're not at war with you." And they said, "We want that fellow Samson." And so they came to Samson, the men of Judah, and they said, "Samson, you've created a lot of problems for us, and now you've got the Philistines angry and they want a war. And we are in subjection to them. We can't fight them. And so they want us to turn you over to them, or else they will fight against us and destroy us." Samson said, "I'll make an agreement with you. If you promise not to hurt me or turn on me yourself, I will let you turn me over to them." And they said, "It's agreed." And so they bound him with ropes and turned him over to the Philistines. And as the Philistines sought to carry him away, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He saw a jawbone of a donkey. He popped the ropes as though they weren't there, picked up the jawbone of a donkey, and began to slay the Philistines with it, tossing their bodies in heaps until he was surrounded by heaps of bodies. And he looked around and he said, heaps upon heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 Philistines. As he looked at the carcasses of that regiment that had come to take him back captive. Later on, when he had gone to the Philistine city of Gaza, the men of the city said, oh, we've got him trapped. Let's bar the gates of the city. And tomorrow morning, when he tries to leave, we'll ambush him and we'll destroy him. But he decided to leave the city at midnight, came to the gates and found them barred and locked. And so he picked up the gates with their posts and bars and carried them some 10 miles away and just placed them on the hill outside of Hebron. A man of legendary strength. And yet, he was a man of tremendous weakness. One of his weaknesses was his constant wandering into the camp of the enemy. He had some kind of a strange fascination for the camp of the Philistines. He was always going down to the Philistine cities. He loved the excitement of the loose lives of the Philistines. He seemed to enjoy flirting with danger. Somehow he felt that he could play with fire and not get burned. There are places that a child of God has no business being at any time. There are things that a child of God should not do. A child of God should never be in an R or X-rated movie. And I even think that you need to be careful about PGs. In fact, I don't even know what movie you can watch without being corrupted somewhat. Unless it's one of the older Disney movies, even the newer ones are getting bad. I think it's tragic. A Christian has no business renting or purchasing the X and R-rated videos, even to view within their own home. A man cannot take fire into his bosom and not be burned. As a child of God, you have no business being in a bar or in a nightclub. These are the camp of the enemy. To go into the camp of the enemy is only to expose yourself to temptations. Temptations that ultimately can catch you at a weak moment and bring you to destruction. He had another weakness, and that was his love for strange women. Strange in the sense of the scriptures, women who were loose in their morals. Samson was always attracted to these women that he met in the camp of the enemy. The book of Proverbs warns men, young men especially, to keep themselves from the flattery of a strange woman. For he declares, a whorish woman can bring a man to a crust of bread. You can be destroyed. You can lose everything. In fact, in Proverbs 7, beginning with verse 6, as he is addressing his son to keep the commandments, he declares unto him, for at the window of my house, I was looking through my casement, and I was beholding among the simple ones, and I saw there among the youths a young man who was void of understanding. He was passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight and in the evening, and in the black and dark night, and I beheld, and there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a subtle heart. She is loud and she is stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and she lies in wait at every corner. So she caught him, and she kissed him, and with an impudent face she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Therefore I came into the streets to seek you, and diligently to seek thy face, and now I have found you. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with the carved works and with fine linen of Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, and let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man of the house is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will not come home until the appointed day. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And he went after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, until a dart strikes through his liver, as a bird that is hastening to the snare and knows not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, nor go astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the path to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Many strong men have been slain by her. And such was the case of Samson. This tremendous weakness for women caused his destruction, brought him to destruction. He could conquer over 1,000 Philistines, but he could not conquer over the passions of his own flesh. And so the Philistines were seeking for the secret of his strength. And they came to Delilah when they saw that he was attracted to her, and they said, we will each one of us give you 1,100 pieces of silver if you will discover for us the secret of that fellow's strength. And so Delilah began to press him. Samson, tell me, honey, what is the secret of your great strength? How could you be bound in order that you would be afflicted? And Samson said, well, if they would bind me with green vines, I would be weak just like anybody else. You see, they've always used dried vines when they tried to tie me up, and hey, anybody can snap those. Green vines, that'd be a different story. She said, honey, why don't you relax, take a little nap? And as he was sleeping, she called the Philistines who came in with the green vines, and they bound him with the green vines, and she said, Samson, Philistines are upon you. And he jumped up, and these green vines popped off as though they were threads that were touched by the fire. And she said, oh, ho. You were mocking me, weren't you? Just kidding me. But that isn't right, Samson. Tell me. what is the secret of your strength? How could you be bound so that you could be afflicted? And he said, well, tell you what, if they would use new ropes to tie me up, then I'd be weak just like anybody else. You see, they've always used old ropes. Anybody can snap old ropes. Honey, why don't you take a little nap? Lie down and rest a bit. Just relax. And when he was asleep, she called the Philistines who brought in and bound him with the new ropes. And then she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he jumped up and these ropes popped as though they were threads. And she said, oh, come on now. That's not nice. You're just making fun of me. You're just mocking me, Samson. You haven't really told me what the secret of your strength. What is it, Samson? How could you be bound so that you could be afflicted? He said, if they would take the 7 locks of hair and weave them into the loom, then I'd be weak just like anybody else. She said, oh, honey, why don't you rest a bit, take a little nap and relax. Hey, are you noticing something? How stupid can a man be? I mean, surely by now you begin to catch on. That every time you take this little relax, I'll rub your shoulders, you know, take a nap bit, that it's happening to you. You know, I'm amazed at how when a man is caught up in the passions of his own desires and lust, how it seems that his intelligence often takes leave. I mean, men can do the stupidest things. I'm amazed at how sin can blind a person. How a person seems to have the sense of confidence. Hey, you know, I can handle myself. I know my limits. I know what I can do and can't do. And leave me alone, you know. And I'm amazed at how blind people are to their own true condition when they are in that trap of sin or being lured because of the tremendous desires of their flesh. I'm amazed that people can actually do the things they do that show absolutely no sense of value or good judgment when caught up in these kind of relationships. Actually deserting their families. Thinking that this is the love of the century, you know. This has never happened to anyone before, you know. Oh, this is paradise on earth. Our love is just, you know, the blindness of man, the stupidity of man when he gives in to his own passions. He went to sleep. She wove the 7 locks of his hair into the loom. For good measure, she took a spike and pinned it to the beam. And she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he jumped up and pulled the loom and the beam and everything else. And then she said, oh, I can't believe a word you say. You're just a liar. You say me, you love me, but I can't believe that. You're just lying to me when you say that. I can't trust you at all. Here, these 3 times you've deceived me. You haven't really told me what is the secret of your strength or how you can be bound. And day after day, she urged him, she pressed him, until finally he confessed. Look, I am a Nazarite. That means I have made a commitment. I've taken a vow of commitment to God. Since my birth, there has never been a razor that has come to my head. If my head were shaved, I would be weak just like any other man. Well, honey, why don't you take a little nap, rest a bit? And as he was sleeping, she called the Philistines in. They shaved his head. And she said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he jumped up and said, "I will go out as I did before." And that tragic verse of scripture, he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. Power was gone. The Philistines came in. He was weak. They threw him on the ground. One took a stick, gouged out his eyes. They bound him with chains of brass. They took him down to the Philistine city of Gaza, put him in the prison. And there he did grind in the prison house. That is, he replaced the job of an ox, pushing the post around the circle where the millstone ground the wheat, the barley, the grains. What a picture of what sin does to a person. The first thing sin does is blind a person. You see a person caught up in sin, they're so blinded. You try to warn them that, "Hey, that's dangerous, fellow. You shouldn't be doing it." "Ah, come on, I can handle it, man. I know what I'm doing. I know my limits." And as sin begins to take control of their lives, they're not aware of it. The second thing sin does is begins to bind a person. It gets a hold on you so you can't let go. It's a trap. It's a snare. And you find yourself all ensnared in that sin. And you're doing things you swore you would never do. But not only that, you can't stop doing them though you would like to. You used to say, "Oh, I can quit any time." But now you know the truth. You can't quit. You're bound by it. There's no letting go. It has a hold on you. And then in its final stage, it begins to grind. It's no longer exciting. It's no longer a pleasure. It's a monkey on your back. Day after day, it becomes a grind. And your life gets closed off and closed into this narrow circle, and you're caught and you're bound, and sin begins to grind away, but you see no way out. You know no way out. So was this man, because he revealed the secret of his strength. What was the secret of his strength? Now, if you tell me it was his long hair, you've only looked at the story superficially, and I must tell you, you are absolutely wrong. There is no strength in hair. You don't have to have hair to be strong, thank God. His hair was a symbol of the Nazarite vow, which was the vow of commitment to God. And thus, the secret of his strength was his commitment to God. There is tremendous strength in commitment. Men who are committed to a cause are strong. This is true in the realm of athletics. Those men who are truly committed are the men who are winners. Have you ever noticed how that each week it seems there are major upsets in football? Some little team with a 5-7 record knocks off a 14-0. And you wonder, how in the world can that be? Well, the team that is 14-0 looks at the record of this other team and says, hey, these guys are a pushover. We don't have to really, you know, train hard this week. We don't have to really work hard at this. And we could go into the game with one arm tied behind us and wipe those guys out. They're nothing. And these guys that have a poor record think the only way we can salvage the season is to beat these guys. And their whole minds and hearts are pointed towards the beating of this team. That's the only way we can have a successful year. And they go into that game all pumped up and committed to win, where these other guys, you know, just come cruising in without commitment, and suddenly they find themselves getting knocked off by this little nothing team. Major upset, the paper reads. It's commitment. But this worries me. Because you see, what I notice in the church today so much is a lack of real commitment. A real commitment to the things of God. A real commitment to walking with Christ. We seem to think that we can always enjoy our liberties and our freedoms, and we don't have to worry about them. That could never happen here. That would never, you know, what happened in Russia could never take place here. But the problem is those people who are opposed to this glorious freedom that we enjoy are deeply committed to their cause. They're willing to give their lives to it. They're willing to work night and day. They're willing to sacrifice. They're willing to give up in order to promote their cause. You realize that there were fewer than 6% of the people in Russia who were communists when the Bolshevik revolution overthrew the Russian nation? 6%. But they were committed. Committed to their cause. A man who is committed is a man who is strong. He cannot be defeated. I think of Paul the Apostle. He was in the city of Lystra, and the people got upset with him, and they stoned him. And they drug him out of the city, figuring he was dead. And for all we know, he was dead. He doesn't know himself whether or not he was dead or alive. And his friends were standing around weeping. Here's this poor limp body of Paul, you know, no signs of life. And his body's lying there and, you know, the cuts and the abrasions and all from these stones. And they're just standing around weeping over this great warrior of God who has fallen, you know, to the stones of the enemy. Pretty soon someone said, hey, did you see that? Did he move? And pretty soon Paul, you know, sort of shakes himself and blinks his eyes, looks around and says, hey, let's get back into town and start preaching again. Hey, you don't beat those kind of guys. You can't destroy that kind of commitment. Those guys are unstoppable. Those that have that total commitment. And that was the secret of his strength, and that's the secret of any man's strength, that of total commitment unto God. But when he broke that commitment, he became a pitiful victim in the hands of the enemy. And I look at people today who have become pitiful victims in the hand of the enemy because they broke their commitment to Jesus Christ. The Philistines were having a big holiday. They were celebrating in the temple of their god Dagon. Multitudes had crowded into the temple. And in the midst of their drunken hilarity, someone got the smart idea, why don't we bring Samson in so that we can make sport of him? What they didn't realize is the grace of God expressed in the scripture, and his hair began to grow again. Oh, therein is the hope of the gospel. Though you may have blown it, yet God is still reaching out. And God will give you another chance. And God will set you free. And God will still use you. They brought Samson in, and as they led him in, blinded, stumbling around, being led by a little boy, the place broke out in jeers and laughter and scoffing. Someone probably stuck their foot out. He couldn't see where he was going, tripped him, and he fell flat on his face. Gales of laughter filled the temple of Dagon, making fun of this man who had once been such a dynamic power for God. Samson said to the little boy that led him, "Hey, would you lead me over to the two pillars that hold this place up?" And as he got over to the pillars, he prayed and said, "God, I'm sorry. I've blown it. I'm sorry for what I've done. Made a mess of my life. But oh God, just once more I'd like to experience your power. Once more, Lord, the touch of your power in my life. And God, let me perish with the Philistines." And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he began to pull those two pillars until he pulled them together. And the house of Dagon fell. 3,000 Philistines were crushed to death. And under the pile was Samson, the man who could have been a tremendous power for God in delivering the people of God from their enemies. But a man who ended up crushed by the fallen enemy because he had broken his commitment to God. You say, "Well, Chuck, that's an old story. That happened over 3,000 years ago. I beg your pardon. It is a fresh story. It's happening today. Within the sanctuary this morning, there are many Samsons. People who could be doing a great service for God. People whose lives should be a terror to the enemy of God. People that God has touched and endowed with many marvelous natural gifts and capacities. People who could be doing a great work for God, but are doing nothing for God because there's no commitment. Their lives are just a nothing. They've been overcome by their own flesh. and their weaknesses led them away from the commitment and their place of strength. And today, they're just really zero as far as God's kingdom is concerned. It's sad and it's tragic to see a person that could be, should be, but isn't, because of the weakness of their flesh and their failure to commit. God help us that that doesn't become our story. But may we commit ourselves fully to Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, as we look at this tragic story this morning, as it happened to Samson in the scriptures, but Lord, even more tragically, as we see it happening around us today, lives that are being destroyed, people that are so blind to the folly of the path that they have chosen, people who are bound by the power of sin that has taken hold on their lives. Oh God, help us today to awake from our sleep and from our lethargy, from our complacency. And oh God, may we get out and may we commit ourselves fully, totally, to the kingdom of God and to your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? Have you ever had the tragedy of watching someone destroy their lives? And you try and reach out and help them. You try to warn them. You try to show them. But they seem to just ignore it. They seem bent upon destruction. You plead with them. You pray with them. All to no avail. It's tragic. Tragic. Years ago, we were back in Monroe, Michigan. God had helped us to reached the Northside Gang of Cleveland, and we had taken these kids up there for a beach party. And that evening, we built a big bonfire on the beach there at Lake Erie. And these mayflies, attracted by the flames, began to fly into the flame and be cremated. Thousands of them just came flying in and into this big flame that we had on the bonfire. And so the kids began to get around and began to beat the things. As they would come, they would slap them down on the ground and trying to keep them from getting into the fire. And you'd see these mayflies as they're sort of wobbling on the ground, you know, trying to get their equilibrium. As soon as they up and fly, they fly right back into the fire. You think, well, you stupid mayflies. You're destroying yourself. Tragic when a mayfly destroys itself, but more tragic when a man destroys himself. A woman destroys herself. And God is there trying to stop them. Friends are there trying to stop them. But they seem to ignore the warnings. They seem to be determined to go on in that path that will bring them destruction. Oh, may God cause His Spirit to so work in our hearts that we will turn and that we will recommit ourselves and our lives fully, completely, that we might know God's strength and the strength of His Spirit working in us. If you want to recommit yourself today and feel again the strength and the power of the Lord in your life, I would encourage you to go back into the prayer room and there meet with God and make your commitment. God bless you and watch over you and keep you and cause that your commitment to Him might exceed every commitment in your life. God first. It's the only way that you're going to be able to survive. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face.